Several people have asked me about Melissa Stump, our former pastor. Her daughter Kaylee, of course, is now a student in New Orleans. She's gone to college there. We're glad to say that Kaylee is safe. Her dad has been able to go and get her and evacuate her. But we are certainly in prayer for the people in Louisiana, Mississippi, and the surrounding areas that are going to be affected by this awful storm, Ida. We in Florida understand how traumatic this can be. And so we ask your prayers to continue to lift up those folks. And we will be letting you know how we can respond to get aid to those folks, certainly by next week. And anytime you want to give a gift, you can always go online or send a check, whatever works for you. And just if you go online, look for that special gift and mark it Ida. Just payable to the church, but mark it Ida. As you did for the Haiti earthquake, we had a wonderful response there, and I'm grateful to say that some of that aid has been pouring in. A lot of it is medicine, and so thank you for that. We're able to work together as our connectional church, United Methodist Church, with many agencies and to do a great, great, good work in helping in many places. Also, too, several of you mentioned is that Nikki, I'm glad to have her back. She was quarantined because of COVID last week. But is doing well, is back with us, obviously. And some of you, I mentioned last week that I'd written a sermon with short notice. Nikki found out Friday that she was positive with COVID, and so I quickly got to work and really wrote the sermon in about a 24-hour period, where normally it's the entire week you work on that. Well, several people said, you can wait till Saturday more often to write that sermon. I like that one. So in keeping with that, I got up this morning about 7 o'clock and wrote a new sermon. So, well, not really. I didn't do that. I know better. And I'll tell you about this text that we're looking at today. I've been living with it all week. And it's one of those that, you know, your thoughts are going back and forth and navigating. It took every bit of this week and more to really kind of think about what is this saying? What do we need to understand? So this morning, let's turn to, I think, an important understanding of who God is and who we are in that relationship with God. You know, when I was a child, I remember hearing the story of Chicken Little. It was actually shared with me by teachers, by my parents. I heard it again and again. The story is very simple. Chicken Little, it seems, was walking underneath an oak tree when an acorn fell and hit him on the head. Chicken Little proclaims that the sky is falling. You remember that? The sky is falling. I must tell the king. So this hysterical chicken makes his way to the king, but along the way he's joined by other animals who, upon hearing the story, buy into this apocalyptic doomsday scenario. And they join in the trek to warn the king. When they get to see the king looks up, the obvious response, and notices that the sky is, in fact, quite intact. And he finally helps this hysterical doomsday group understand that what they claimed to be the end of the world was merely an acorn. Do you know that story has been around a long time? In some form or fashion, it's been around for at least 25 centuries. So you have to ask, why has it endured so long? Because sharing false information is nothing new. It's an old tendency. The moral of the story reminds us, check out the facts. In fact, if Chicken Little just looked down, he would have seen the acorn that just bounced off his head. So today we're beginning a new preaching series, which we call Get Real. Now, what we're doing is we're looking at four sayings which are often attributed to Scripture. And we're asking a simple question, did God really say that? That's important because a lot of people form part of their theology. They live their lives as Christian based on some things that they think God said. For instance, today we're looking at the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. Like you, I've heard that phrase countless times, over and over. But is it actually in the Bible, as some claim? In a recent Barna study from 2017, it was learned that 52% of practicing Christians strongly agreed that the Bible teaches God helps those who help themselves. Some claimed that it was one of the Ten Commandments. I can tell you reliably that it is not. And while most don't believe that it's in one of the top 10, many do believe that it's found in Scripture. But is it? Maybe this is simply an acorn that fell, causing many to believe that that's the way God intends for us to approach life. I'll tell you, you can look at this all you want, but that phrase is not in the Bible. So now we have a dilemma. Because a lot of people believe it is. If this is not what the Bible teaches, why are so many willing to believe it? A couple of things. Maybe it's a different interpretation of another biblical truth. That's always a possibility. Maybe it's used to emphasize the belief that we must rely on self-initiative. There are some verses that point to that in Scripture. But the phrase is very common, especially inspiring those in the self-help community. I've heard it used to chastise or to motivate others. You know, the Bible teaches God helps those who help themselves. I've heard it said that way. But the problem with that encouragement is that it's not actually in the Bible. Now, let's be clear, because the Bible does not tell us to always let God or someone else do everything for us. Well, it's not a get-off from any responsibility free card. I mean, it doesn't work that way, and you know that. So what is behind God helps those who help themselves? Well, the phrase has been around a long, long time in some form or another. It has its origins in ancient Greece, though there it went something like this. The gods help those who help themselves. You can find that idea fleshed out in a couple of Aesop's fables in Greek drama. It's been around a long time. The phrase as we know it first appears in the English language in 1698. A fellow by the name of Algernon Sidney, he wrote an article called Discourses Concerning Government, and that phrase appears in there. For me personally, I thought it sounded like something that Benjamin Franklin would say, because, you know, he's famous for all these Bible-sounding quips. And in fact, it did appear in Poor Richard's Almanac in 1757, so Franklin himself repeated it, but still, it is not in the Bible. So what does the Bible say? Well, it says that God helps those who cannot help themselves, the helpless. That is very clear. Consider, for instance, Isaiah 25, verse 4. But you are a tower of refuge to the poor, O Lord, a tower of refuge to the needy in distress. You are a refuge from the storm, a shelter from the heat. So we need to be honest, because there are times in every one of our lives where we are not able to help ourselves. In fact, there are some times for which we are utterly dependent on God. Sin is chief among those needs. Paul writes in Romans 3, we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. That's all of us. As the scriptures say, says Paul, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. He doesn't let us off when it comes to sin. We are helpless. But what is also apparent, that when it comes to sin, not only do we all really need help, but that's precisely what God has responded to. We see it in the atonement of Jesus Christ, who paid for our sin. Now, there are life situations where it is pointed out in Scripture that someone is helpless. Somebody is unable to help themselves. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 10, the helpless commit themselves to you. And you have been a helper of the orphan, O Lord. You hear the desire of the meek. You will strengthen their hearts. You incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed. Now, there are many others that I could offer you, but the Bible is quite clear that God does help the helpless. Yet at the same time, there is still that reliance, a partnership that we're called to see ourselves in relationship to God. Now, there's certainly a need for us to take action, to roll up our sleeves and get busy. But I will tell you this. If we think it's all about helping ourselves, that can be dangerous. Because we might become dependent upon ourselves and independent of God. It's never an either-or. There's an old joke, for instance, about a preacher who's traveling a country road. He's just enjoying the beauty out there, and then he sees this farm. I mean, he's so taken by it, he pulls over, and there in the distance is the farmhouse. I mean, it's not new, but it is magnificent. It's in great repair. It's beautifully painted. I mean, the flowers and the shrubs are just unbelievable. The cattle are fat, and they're standing in this knee-deep grass. They look healthy and strong. He can see this row of trees leading up to the house on this white gravel driveway. It's just a picture that's hard to imagine. And he's enamored by this, taking it all in, when he sees the farmer coming around on his tractor, tilling the fields. He waves to him. The farmer hops down off his tractor and comes over to him. "Hello," he says. "How are you today?" And this pastor is just so amazed. He said, "You know, my good man, God has certainly blessed you with a magnificent farm." Well, the farmer just kind of beamed with joy, is looking around. He says, "You know, he has. And we are grateful. But you should have seen this place when he had it all to himself." That joke may cause you to laugh, but it also should cause you to pause. Because I know some people who think they are responsible for all they have. They think they're responsible for who they are and what people think of them. These are people that are on the precipice where they're so enamored with how they've helped themselves that God has become, at best, a footnote. Perhaps the danger of that phrase, "God helps those who help themselves," is that we become so taken with our own efforts, our own works righteousness, our own ability, that we begin to push God to the side. And trust me, it happens. In Psalm 8, a statement is made and a question is asked. "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, all that you've set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him?" What is it about us that you care so much for us, Lord? Which brings us to the good news, that God does care and God does help. That is so important. And we call that grace. Grace is that help that you and I cannot provide for ourselves. Instead, God has done this for us. The beauty of how God works in our lives is that God does not require us first to clean it up or to fix ourselves. Rather, God invites us to bring Him, to bring God into every situation from the very beginning, just as it is. In other words, before you try to do it yourself, bring it to God first. That's exactly the way salvation works. But it's also how our walk with Christ works. It doesn't end. The reality isn't that God helps those who help themselves, but that God helps those who realize they can't help themselves. And something incredible happens, because when we accept God's help, we discover that there is a source of power and strength and grace to help us with every situation in life. In fact, listen to what the writer of Hebrews says so well. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet did not sin. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God knows we will struggle, that at times we will be weak, and for every one of those times, God is ready to help. In other words, the more helpless you realize you are, the more important is God's help. And the wonderful truth that we need to remember is that God has given us a helper. Jesus said to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever." It's the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him, but it does not see him or know him. You know him because he abides in you and will be with you. See, the plan all along was never God helps those who help themselves. The plan was that God would help us by putting his Holy Spirit in us. That is the source of our strength. God is the source of our wisdom and peace, and he has given us the ability to live the life that God has designed for us. In other words, God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, there is no malintent when we use a phrase like God helps those who help themselves. But sometimes, perhaps even foolishly, we think it's the way it should be, that you've said this. But when we take the time to really look at what your word says, then there is a far different picture. We do not run the risk of pushing you away. Rather, we are drawn closer to you. We don't depend on ourselves and our own self-made image. Rather, we see who you are in us through your Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, makes all the difference in the world. It is a difference of hope and of salvation. Thank you for your patience with us. We pray for your truth to be instilled in us, that we may know the design you have for us, that we may live the lives that you've called us to live and be the people you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's easy to say so many things that just come off the top of our head and we think should sound right or be right, or perhaps are in Scripture somewhere. God helps those who help themselves. When actually, if I understand what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of us, then what I would say is God helps those who come just as we are, needing mercy and grace. No pretension of my own efforts that I could earn my own salvation. No, I am joyful. And Jesus Christ has done that for me, that my hope is in the salvation that God offers. That's where I find help. That's where I find strength. May we all find that help, that strength, as we go now in peace and go in love. Amen.